The Israeli regime keeps pounding the Gaza Strip following large-scale operations by Palestinian resistance fighters in the occupied territories. Iran's top general says that the Palestinian operation proved that Israel's nightmare will come true, stressing that normalization deals cannot stop the regime's collapse. I'm Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. The Israeli regime keeps pounding the Gaza Strip following large-scale operations by Palestinian resistance fighters in the occupied territories. Explosions rocked Gaza a day after Palestinian resistance group Hamas launched a surprise attack against Israel by land, air, and sea. 320 Palestinians have been killed, more than 2,000 wounded so far. Meanwhile, Hamas saying it's fired large numbers of artillery shells and guided missiles at Israeli positions in border areas. Hamas says it launched the unprecedented operation in response to the desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied Al-Quds and Israeli atrocities against Palestinians over the decades. So far, the operations have left 600 Israelis dead and more than 2,000 injured. Israeli army says it aims to evacuate all Israelis living close to the Gaza Strip in one day. The situation is also volatile north of the occupied territories. Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah fired dozens of rockets and shells on Israeli positions in the occupied Shebel farms. Hezbollah says that the attack was launched in solidarity with Palestinian people. Now let's go live to Gaza. Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent, is there. Ashraf, where are you?
Yes, Behrouz, I'm standing inside the Shifa Hospital, the central hospital in the Gaza Strip, and the smoke, I believe you see right now, is the result of the heavy bombardment of the Al-Nasr neighborhood, not far from where we're standing, about 700 yards north from where we're standing here at the Shifa Hospital. That place was... it's an apartment building or a residential tower. It was bombed several times after initially being hit with a warning rocket over about half an hour ago. On our way to the hospital, we saw hundreds of people who who live in that tower, and also people who live near the tower itself taking shelter around the stores in the street, awaiting the bombing of their homes. This is not the first incident today. Just over the last 2 hours, Israel bombed at least two dozen buildings in the Gaza Strip, including a bank in the center of Gaza City, and it was very close to our office. It shook the building. It feels like there's an earthquake taking place every time Israeli fighter jets use their smart bombs against the civilian infrastructure and the civilians in the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, back to the hospital issue and the health issue in Gaza. As we were standing here, at least twice bodies of Palestinian victims were brought into the emergency room behind me. And the latest figures by the Palestinian Ministry of Health say that at least 370 Palestinians been killed so far, and some 2,200 others were injured. The number is definitely higher than that, but we still wait for the Ministry of Health in Gaza to update the numbers and the figures regarding the victims and the injuries. This, while the hospitals in Gaza, including the Shifa Hospital, I said it's the central hospital in Gaza, most critical cases come here, already suffering from shortage of hospital supplies, surgical supplies, and medical supplies. Even before this round of fighting, between the Palestinian resistance groups and the Israeli regime. And since yesterday, or actually since Thursday night, Israel sealed the crossings with the Gaza Strip, so no goods or food is coming in into the Gaza Strip. The situation continues. We will have a problem with the medical supplies, a huge problem, humanitarian catastrophe, and possibly a problem with the food supplies in Gaza. We've been hearing that the Israeli regime is not only sealing the crossings with Gaza. We're talking about the Kerem Shalom in southern Gaza, the commercial one, and Erez, the pedestrian crossing in northern Gaza. But we've heard through the Israeli media that there are suggestions within the Israeli military to force the closure of the Rafah crossing with Egypt, and that's the last. That's the only remaining crossing in or out of Gaza. The situation is still extremely tense in Gaza. Resistance groups are still firing rockets and mortars towards the occupied territories. And as I said, Israeli fighter jets continue to pound the Gaza Strip. They hit buildings, they hit residential areas, commercial sector. They also bombed agricultural lands, and they also targeted fishing boats inside the Gaza seaport, and I believe at least five boats were completely or partially destroyed by the attacks from the Israeli Navy against the Palestinian fishermen in Gaza. We will keep you posted about the situation as it continues to unfold in the Gaza Strip, especially that the Israeli regime has been releasing high figures of casualties or fatalities among their soldiers and among the Israeli settlers. Figures suggest there are more than 600 dead Israeli soldiers and settlers and close to 2,500 others injured since yesterday, since 6:20 a.m. local time, around 3:20 GMT, when Hamas's military wing, the Zin al-Qassam brigades, fired some around 5,000 rockets towards the occupied territories. And as the rockets were raining upon the Israeli regime and the areas around the Gaza Strip, hundreds of Hamas fighters penetrated the border in the east of Gaza and managed to basically, in other words, liberate some 14 settlements east of Gaza. Even for a temporary time, they attacked Israeli soldiers. They fought against Israeli soldiers. They killed Israeli soldiers. They've captured many Israeli soldiers and settlers, and they brought them back to Gaza. They also brought back some of the corpses of the dead settlers and the dead Israeli soldiers back with them into the Gaza Strip. They also brought back Israeli military gear and also armored trucks and military vehicles, and paraded them throughout the Gaza Strip, the Beirut.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Ashraf Shannon, live for us in front of Gaza Shifa Hospital, reporting live for us there. Now let's turn to another rally, this time in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. Let's see, we have the pictures there to show you. There you are. Just minutes ago, we had pictures from a Palestinian refugee camp in Jordan, waving flags and chanting slogans, slamming the Israeli aggression against people in Gaza and supporting the Palestinian cause. Now, this is in the heart of Europe, the Netherlands, the city of Rotterdam. Again, similar scenes, Palestinian flags being waved, this time in the heart of Europe. And also, when I was talking to our correspondent in London, Amina Taylor told me this, tomorrow there's also a rally planned to be held in London, 6 p.m., if my memory doesn't fail me. So as we can see, the aggression has been going on, and people across the world, you know, one by one, and they're just getting out there to the streets and making their voices heard, that they are against the Israeli aggression on Palestinians. And as we speak, Gaza City is being pounded, is still under attack, and every now and then, maybe every hour, there you are with Gaza. A few minutes ago, we had this huge, again, plume of smoke seen in the background. And this is the order, it has been the order today in the past couple of days, especially today. In the past 4 or 5 hours, we hear tank shells, we see the ships are targeted in the coastal territory. One of them was on fire, and then you see residential buildings collapse and hospitals rushing to the scene to save the people. And all of this in a situation where just Ashraf was, our correspondent was speaking a few minutes ago, that they are under this total siege, under blockade. They're facing acute lack of medical supplies and medicine, and they're taking Palestinian, you know, the injured one to the hospital, trying to give them treatment with the least that they can, they have at their disposal. Now, moving on, the head of the political bureau of the Palestinian Resistance Movement, Hamas, says that the operation of Al-Aqsa flood against Israel will end with Palestinians' victory. Ismail Haniyeh said that the operation threw their regime off balance within minutes. He said this is in response to the Israeli raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque and the blockade of Gaza. Haniyeh said that Gaza-based resistance fighters won't stand idle by as Israel intensifies its attacks in the occupied territories. He stressed that Al-Aqsa faces real danger as Israel is trying to impose full sovereignty over the holy site. The top Hamas official called for general mobilization, urging resistance movements in the region to join the battle. Now, reactions pouring in following Palestinians' anti-Israel attacks that took the regime by surprise on Saturday. Advisor to Iran's leader, Rahim Safavi, said that Tehran is proud of the operation and supports the Palestinians in their fight against the Israeli regime. Iran's foreign ministry also reacted by saying that Hamas attacks showed the Palestinians' confidence in the face of Israel. Nasser Kanani said that the operation was a new chapter in armed resistance against the regime. Iraq said that operations undertaken by Palestinians were a natural outcome of decades of oppression by the, quote, the Zionist occupation. The Qatari foreign ministry issued a statement saying that Israel is responsible for the ongoing escalation of violence. Also, Kuwait made a similar statement, blaming Israelis for the continued violence. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt, Bahrain, and Russia have also called for restraint. Iran's top military commander hails the anti-Israeli operation by Palestinian resistance fighters, saying it left the regime with no doubt that its nightmare of collapse will come true. Major General Mohammad Bagheri says that Operation Al-Aqsa flood proved that desperate and futile measures such as normalization deals will not prevent the decline and collapse of the regime. The chief of staff of the Iran Armed Forces said that the operation also reaffirmed Tel Aviv's false grandeur and hollow power. The general said that Palestinians have come a long way since the days when stone throwing was their only means of defense. He added that the Palestinians have now reached such levels of strength that they can deal heavy blows to Israel and make a mockery of its so-called Iron Dome missile shield by firing thousands of missiles into the occupied territories. Now, people in the Gaza Strip say that they will not give up despite Israel's deliberate attacks on civilians.
They probably target civilians more than politicians in order to pressure us to give up, but we tell them that we will not give up and we are here to stay. This is our land and we will not abandon our land.
To me, this is destruction and arrogance by the enemy. The enemy wants destruction, bombing and killing civilians.
Now, our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, says that Palestinian resistance against the Tel Aviv regime has gained momentum since the First Intifada in 2000.
And of course, the Palestinian resistance gained momentum after the liberation in Lebanon in 2000, where we saw the first intifada, the glorious intifada that began then, and it began also in the West Bank. We saw the resistance also gaining momentum in Gaza. That continued, and that was very significant for the people of Lebanon, since, as you know, it is not just supportive of the Palestinian cause. We have over 500,000 Palestinian refugees living in more than 12 Palestinian refugee camps. This is an issue which is very significant for the Lebanese in itself. It would solve a lot of problems. As you know, we did have internal clashes in one of the camps. We had another camp that was used as a harbor for a safe haven for some of the Takfiri terrorists as well, where they used to prepare bomb-laden cars. They used it to launch operations against the Lebanese army and against other resistance factions, whether Palestinian or Lebanese.
Now, political commentator Barry Grossman says that the only way for Palestinians to win back their rights is armed resistance.
From where I sit, Palestinians have very little choice. After the Second Intifada, they gave peace a chance. They unilaterally reduced attacks on Israelis so that by the occupation zone numbers, what they called lethal terrorist attacks on Israelis was reduced by 95% for each of 10 years in a decade-long period. And their response to Palestinians giving peace a chance was to launch a series of major military operations, raising Gaza almost to the ground and killing many thousands of Palestinians, while at the same time seizing more and more land in the West Bank. Palestinians simply don't have a choice. I don't think anybody enjoys picking up arms and going to war, killing people, but there comes a point at which there are no other options. And of course, the United Nations Charter and international law more generally respects and preserves the right of an occupied people to fight their occupiers. And that's essentially what Palestinians are now doing. And in return, the machine, as it were, the corporate media cartel influenced by the U.S., or should I say directed by the U.S. security apparatus, immediately dismisses anything they do as terrorism.
And with that, we come to the end of this news broadcast from Tehran.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners, especially. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 8, 2023. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the most. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. This is Listeners Special, this Sunday program, your favorite program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Anand Mohan from India, from Ajit Kumar again from India, and from Lars Skoglund from Sweden. So Anand, Ajit, and Lars, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here we have piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Muhammad Abdullah. From Finland, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners. Yes, from Heikki Puranen. From India, we have an email from Adita Pritika. Again, from Finland, we've received an email from Olof Ratuvara. And from the UK, Paul Flanagan has sent us a piece of email. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, and today is one of the most beautiful Sundays of October. As I said, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh has sent us a piece of email, so let's see what Muhammad Abdullah says. Take my cordial greetings. I am a Bangladeshi radio listener, and I monitor different radio stations for the past 38 years I have. I have listened to different international radios so far. I'm very interested to monitor your station. Please send your current frequency schedule. And if possible, please send some other information about your station. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. To you, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. And thank you very much for this email. It's good to hear that you were successful in catching the signals of IRIB English Radio in Bangladesh. And it seems that you've been listening to different radio stations for so many years, in decades. So, the frequency schedule of IRIB English Radio, Muhammad Abdullah, is available at our website at parstoday.ir/en. So, our website is parstoday.ir/en, and there you can find the frequency schedule. At the time being, Muhammad Abdullah, please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh, thank you again. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And as I said, from Finland, from Heikki Puranen, one of our old and regular listeners, we've received an email. Heikki Puranen says, I had the pleasure of listening to your broadcast radio. The reception was not so good. I enclose with this reception report a link including MP3 file recorded during the listening. I am 53 years old and working as an engineer of electric equipment in Finland. During autumn 2020, I have started DXing after 10 years. If you're interested, you can verify this reception report to reply this email. First of all, salam and warm greetings in one of the cool days of October to you, Heikki Puronen from Finland. We are so pleased to receive this email from you and appreciate you for this email. We received the reception report. Thank you for that, Heikki Puronen from Finland, and we are sorry for the trouble you had in receiving the reception, as you said the reception was not so good. So we will inform our technicians and engineers about the problem you had. If the problem is on our behalf, we will fix it very soon. And Heikki Puronen from Finland, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you again. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. From India, we've received an email from Adita Pritika. Adita says, hello, IRIB. I am Adita, writing from Tamil Nadu, India. I am a new DXer and I am 20 years old. I feel glad that I'm sending one of my first reception reports to IRIB. Keep up the good work. Salam, Adita Pritika from India. Warm greetings to you. Please accept our gratitude to you for this email, as you mentioned that you're sending one of your first reception reports to IRIB English Radio. Adita Pritika, you also keep up the good work and be our regular listener. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And tell us about the quality of the signals, Adita. An EQSL will be sent to you very soon. Thank you again. So let's see what Paul Flanagan from the UK says. Paul says, dear staff at IRIB English Radio, hello, I have QSL report for you. Please, could you send me a printed QSL and an up-to-date English program schedule? Best wishes. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Salam, Paul, and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Of course, an EQSL or electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We also wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Here we have another email from Finland, from Olof Ratovara from Finland. Olof is one of our regular listeners, so let's see what Olof says. Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Finland. Thank you for verifying my listening reports. In my opinion, the program I heard was good and useful. There are interesting articles on your website, which I like a lot. You're doing a great job. Best regards, your DX listener from Finland. Salam and greetings to you, Olof Ratovara from Finland, and thank you very much for this email. I also appreciate you for your compliments, as you seem to be pleased with the programs and you like the website. Thank you again, Olof Ratovara from Finland, and EQSL or Electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. As I always say, art is long, but life is short, and we have to say goodbye. Here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitude to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including from Anand Mohan from India, Ajit Kumar from India, Lars Skoglund from Sweden, Mohammad Abdullah from Bangladesh, Heikki Puranen from Finland, also Adita Pritika from India, Paul Flanagan from the UK, and Olof Ratovara from Finland. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and at Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Islam does not look at the religion itself and us as individuals, right? Yes, you and I are individuals. We're each our own ocean. We can say we're our own island, rather, in an ocean. But ultimately, a community is made up of individuals. And so we look at it from one perspective, that Islam is looking at us, looking at the community on a whole, as a collective. But the fact remains that as individuals, we make up a community, right? You can't have a community of one person. Well, actually, maybe you can, because in the Quran, Allah calls Nabi Ibrahim as an ummah, as a nation unto himself. Right? So maybe we can use that definition, but generally speaking, for us, we recognize that you don't have a jamaat or a community or an institution or organization that's just one person. Right? It takes all of us to create that network, that community that is envisioned by the Quran and by the Prophet of Islam. But one of the interesting things is, and you know, this is something we see many times, is that Allah, when He communicates about a jamaat, about a community, He doesn't use that word. You know, and many times people come to me and they hear about an Islamic concept, or we hear about things in Islam, and the first question that people ask, or the first comment people will say is, show me in the Quran where that exists, and then I'll follow it. Right? This is a common thing that we think. You know, something as prevalent as the hijab, which our sisters wear. Did you know there's no verse of the Quran that uses the word hijab in the meaning of a covering over the hair and the body? The word hijab comes 8 times in the Quran, but never does it mean a piece of fabric which a woman wears to cover her hair and her ears and her neck and what is mandated for a woman. Now, that doesn't mean that hijab isn't in the Quran, but Allah uses other means and ways to describe the hijab. So He uses the word khimar, He uses the word jilbab in Surah Al-Ahzab. But Allah doesn't use the word hijab. But we look at other ayat, we look at the way that the Prophet gave the hijab commandment, or the way that Allah gave the hijab commandment that the Prophet then elaborated upon for the women of his community. You know, if you want to look to the Quran and say, well, it's not in the Quran, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to believe it, then we have another example which is relevant to all of us. And that is the rites of burial. You know, today when a Muslim passes away, Shia or Sunni, it doesn't make a difference. We all believe that it is wajib to give the body 3 ghusls with 3 water, 3 different times, with pure water, with camphor and sidr. We believe that we have to wrap the body in cloth, ideally in white cloth. And we believe to bury the body facing Mecca. But none of this is in the Quran. So why don't we just cremate like other religions do? If we're going to say, I'm only going to follow the Quran and nothing else, because if it's not in the Quran, it's not a part of my religion, then we would have to say, well, burial is a process we don't have to engage in. And when brothers tell me it's like $20,000 to bury somebody in this region, and it's maybe a couple hundred to cremate, well then from the financial perspective, it makes sense. Let's just cremate the person and, you know, dump his ashes in the Pacific Ocean and get it over with. But we don't think like that, right? We don't say, because the Quran doesn't say it, I'm not going to do it. So community building and what it means to have a community, it might not be in the Quran in the word a jamaat, an institution, an association, an organization. But that's where we go to the Prophet. We say, well, what did he do? How did he live his life in Medina when he makes the migration? And how does he show us in practical terms what it means to unite together? But you know, even before I go to that, if you look at the words Allah uses in the Quran, He seems to indicate to us in very subtle ways that it's always about working together. It's not about discord, disharmony, separating, having divisions, doing things on our own. You look at when Allah speaks to people, although there is the address in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal insan. But most of the times Allah says, Ya ayyuhal nas, O humanity. So yes, sometimes He addresses the individual human being. Ya ayyuhal insan, for example. Innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. That you are all painfully struggling and toiling to get towards your goal, your Lord, and you will reach Him. But other times Allah says, Ya ayyuhal nas. As in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكْرٍ وَأُنْثَىٰ. O humanity, we have created you from a male and a female. Other times Allah addresses us and He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. He uses the plural. He's addressing the community of believers on a whole. And we see this in Surah Al-Hujurat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Keep away from much of suspicion. Don't be suspicious about one another. Don't think bad about one another. Don't do backbiting. Don't do gossip mongering and rumor mongering in society. Don't let, you know, men shouldn't do it against men, and women should not do it against women. And Allah differentiates between men and women in this regard. And even in the salat, every day we stand up and pray to Allah. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, and you alone we seek our help and assistance. We don't say, إِيَّاكَ أَعْبُدُ. I might be in my room at home praying alone, nobody there with me, no Jamaat prayer. But yet I'm told by Allah that Surah Al-Fatiha is to be prayed in the plural. That I'm saying, you Allah, we worship Allah. As a community, we communally worship you, Ya Allah. Even though I'm an individual praying, grammatically it might not make sense. But Allah is stressing on the Jamaat, on the community, that as a community we have to be moving together. We have to be worshiping together. We have to be journeying towards Allah spiritually together. It can't be an individual goal, right? And that's why maybe even we see in Islam that monasticism is forbidden, to be on your own, you know, to say, I'm not going to marry, I'm not going to have children, I'm just going to be on my own and journey towards Allah, right? There is no rahbaniyah, as the hadith says. There's no monasticism in Islam. And even the Quran condemns the Christians for practicing this. And Allah says in the Quran that Allah says about Himself, that we never told the Christian community, the monks and the religious preachers, to practice celibacy, to not get married, as we see in the Catholic world today. Allah says that they innovated this. This is a bid'ah. This is an innovation by the Christian church. Allah didn't want people to live on their own like this. He wants us to live in a community, in a jama'at, in an organization. And obviously with that comes rights and responsibilities. And with that also comes the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareemun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyum وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The ouster of U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy shows division in American politics. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Global Times wrote, when U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ousted recently from his leadership post, he became the shortest-serving speaker since 1875. A handful of far-right Republicans joined Democrats and stripped the California Republican of the speaker's gavel with a 216-210 vote after McCarthy worked with Democrats to pass a short-term funding bill to avert government shutdown. The ouster appears sudden, but is not surprising, actually. It is no secret that some far-right Republicans hold radical ideas and refuse to cooperate with the Democrats in any form. Moreover, McCarthy's post was fragile from the very beginning. Matt Gaetz, who was among the Republicans to force a successful vote to vacate the chair on the House floor, repeatedly voted against McCarthy's bid for Speaker in January. McCarthy ultimately secured the gavel after 15 rounds of voting over the 4 days. To win the job, McCarthy had to agree to rules that made it easier to challenge his leadership. Democrats also viewed him as untrustworthy. He broke a May agreement on a spending with President Joe Biden. Despite the fact that McCarthy worked with the Democrats to pause the U.S. shutdown, he did not win the support of a single Democrat in the recent vote. Democrats still believe that the presence of McCarthy, who in September ordered an impeachment inquiry into Biden, would hinder the political agenda of the Biden administration. They also believe that ousting McCarthy would trigger chaos within the Republicans and stymie the Republicans' moves against the Democrats. All in all, McCarthy had already become a lame duck speaker. Zhang Tengjun, Deputy Director of the Department for American Studies at the China Institute of International Studies, told the Global Times that the ouster of McCarthy shows that against the backdrop of intensified bipartisan struggles, loyalty to the party triumphs everything from two parties' ability to make compromises and reach consensuses in the interest of the American public. Zhang noted, "It does not matter if one is the House Speaker or not. What matters is which party he or she belongs to." This shows the extent to which the Democratic Party and the Republican Party divide. Adding that the U.S. politics is now entering an era of a host of demons dancing in riotous revelry. U.S. democracy is facing a severe test as the 2024 presidential election looms. The Republicans have to tackle the current chaos and address this most recent leadership crisis. Without a powerful House Speaker to bridge the divergences among the Republicans, it will affect the overall election strategy of the Republican Party and its advancement of its political agendas. The Democrats sitting in the House chamber to watch the farce from afar could laugh at the Republicans and accuse them of not being able to govern the country and being the reason behind ongoing political gridlock. But they also need to be aware that if the Republicans refuse to cooperate in any issue, the Biden administration's political agenda may also suffer. A chaotic situation next year does not necessarily bode well for the Democratic Party, and the outcome of 2024 election remains uncertain and unpredictable. According to The Hill, the House is in uncharted territory after Kevin McCarthy was ousted from his speakership this week, leaving members trying to navigate a way forward amid the chaos. McCarthy was booted from the top spot in a 216-210 vote recently. The situation is unprecedented, leaving many wondering what comes next. Meanwhile, the Financial Times reported Kevin McCarthy was never exactly a child of the Make America Great Again revolution. But the former Speaker of the House of Representatives made repeated concessions to the most extreme members of the Republican Party and curried favor with them. And in due course, they destroyed him. McCarthy was only elected Speaker after 15 votes in the House of Representatives, and he lasted just 269 days in the job. He was the shortest tenure as House Speaker in more than 140 years. The inglorious rise and fall of McCarthy teaches an important lesson about doing deals with the MAGA extremists and their leader, Donald Trump. It is pointless. Any Republican who is interested in actually making the government work, as opposed to destroying it, should learn from this episode. To gain power, the former Speaker agreed that a single member of the House could trigger a motion to vacate, which could lead to his ouster. In doing so, McCarthy handed the gun to the most extreme members of his party, and in due course, they used it. The former Speaker's offense was to agree a funding deal with the Democrats to prevent the shutdown of the government. Any Republican candidate should now understand that it would be political suicide to agree a similar deal with the MAGA ultras led by Congressman Matt Gaetz. They are unappeasable. The likes of Gaetz need to be faced down and marginalized, not compromise with them.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Monday, the 6th of Ramadan, 1394, the 23rd of September, 1974. What is our responsibility? Have you thought about that? When we are faced with someone like Shuraih, someone like Mughira, someone like Zayd ibn Amr, it doesn't matter on which level you are. When it comes to a person such as this, how should we judge them? In some places they accept religion, faith and morality, whilst at others there is no trace of any religion, faith or morality in their lives. What should we say of such a person? Do we consider them a believer? The Quran clearly says that such a person is not a believer. Therefore, the kind of faith that is recognized in the framework of Islamic thought cannot be the faith of these kind of people, of which there are many like them in today's world. On the contrary, the kind of faith that Islam values is the faith that is preserved in every place, with every person, at every time, in every way, through a sense of moral duty and through doing what is right. Surely those who believe and do righteous deeds. Therefore, the kinds of promises given for faith and given to the faithful are referring to this kind of faith, the kind that is backed up by right actions.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
If we are told the believers will be victorious, it means those kinds of believers will be surely victorious. It means those kinds of believers will be surely victorious. If we are told that the hand of Allah is with the believers, it means it is with those believers. If we are told that nature itself will help the faithful, it is those kinds of believers, not believers like me and you. Therefore, the least we can take away from this discussion is that if we think we have faith, but our faith does not have the effects or the consequences faith is supposed to have, the promises that Allah makes to the faithful in the Quran, we should not be surprised. Because now we know that the kind of faith to which these promises are given is not the faith we have. Now, let us look at the following verses. Certainly we have sent down manifest signs. The Quran, Surah 24, verse 46. These verses of the Quran are clear. Those people who do not allow themselves to understand the Quran deny themselves this clarity. And Allah guides whomever He wishes to a straight path.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.